Good morning. It's good to be here this morning. Hope you feel the same way. There are a number who are visiting with us this morning, and we are so very thankful for your presence. It is encouraging to us that you take the time out of your travels while you're visiting in different locations to worship with the saints, and that means so much to us. And we hope that you leave here this morning encouraged by the worship here. That you find it to be acceptable to the Lord, and all that it should be. We are thankful for your visits as well because it is Mother's Day and we have quite a few of our own away. We also have a young man who grew up here, who married a lady in Kentucky, and we have quite a few of our number who are in Kentucky today, who went there. And that includes Brian Gibson, who is the minister here, and so that's why I'm filling in for him this morning. I'd like for just a moment, if you would, turn over to Psalm 136. Psalm 136. If you notice our sign that we have out in front of the building out here, on one side of it, every week, a verse changes. And Mr. David takes care of that signage out there. And as I was preparing a lesson for this week, notice the verse that was out there. And he and I didn't coordinate anything. But I think the passage we want to read now by way of introduction to our lesson this morning does a good job of preparing our minds for the things that we wish to talk about. Psalm 136, starting in verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for His mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for His mercy endureth forever. Some time back, I was riding down I-85 in Montgomery, and I still remember it was right there in front of Jackson Hospital, and a red Jeep passed me. And personalized plates, I like to read them, see if I can figure out what they're saying sometimes, because I can't always figure them out. But this one just simply said, THNKFL, thankful. And for some reason that stuck with me, that person, whoever they were, just put thankful on their plate. That just, I can't tell you how many other personalized plates that I can't remember anything about this morning. But that one has stuck with me because I thought that person really does appreciate something. Maybe they appreciate that red Jeep, I'm not sure. But they really appreciated something. And especially with what has gone on at my house over the last year, what with Lisa's situation and just the outpouring of support from you all, it's been amazing. And I think I've said this before, but I've done everything I think I can to tell each and every one of you how much I appreciate what you've done for us. And if I've not done that sufficiently, then I apologize. But sometimes we take things for granted. And I wonder if we are thankful enough about things just in our normal course of life. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, most of us can probably quote that verse. And so often we look at the beginning of that verse, it says, be anxious for nothing, or be careful for nothing. And we find a lot of consolation in that because of the encouragement, the promise that God's made to us. Lisa and I have a version of this verse hanging on our refrigerator door at the house. Be anxious, or be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And isn't it wonderful that we as His children can make requests to Him and of Him? Sometimes I think as we contemplate that verse and all that's associated with the meanings of it, we go too quickly past the prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Because so often we turn to that passage when we are in need of some encouragement, And it's when we're in need of encouragement that we sometimes aren't thankful for the many things that we are given. And we live in a society that just simply has so very much. And because we have so much, it's just almost an entitlement, isn't it? People feel like they're owed something. They're owed a nice house. They're owed a nice car. They're owed a good job. They're owed a college education. They're owed this. They're owed that. And so there's this sense of entitlement without really stopping to appreciate the things that they do have. And so as a result, I think that generally speaking, as a nation, we are a nation of unthankful folks. And if we're not careful, we as God's kingdom might bear some of those similarities. And so I want us to consider being thankful this morning. I believe that there are different levels of thankfulness. This is just Chad's observations. I believe that there are different levels of thankfulness. First, there's the non-existent level. There are those, perhaps even of us, that really never consider what they have or where it came from. The other day, I was at a baseball park, and I could hear out on the street out there somebody squealing tires and pulling off, and I made the comment, whoever was standing beside me, I said, well, there's somebody who doesn't buy his own tires. You can appreciate those tires, do you? Sometimes we don't consider where what we have came from. And what's really odd to me is, when you think about it, often those are the people that are never satisfied. They've got a lot of the things that so many people want. They got that car, they got that job, they got that house, they got this, they got that, but they want something more. And so they're never satisfied, and they never really stop to consider, well, it's through their own hard work they got all that. No, they really never stop to consider where those blessings came from. You've probably heard this analogy before, but it's kind of like the hog who's under the oak tree, right? He finds the acorns and he eats them. He enjoys them, but he never looks up to see where they come from. One of the levels of thankfulness is just non-existent. Then I believe that there is a verbal level of thankfulness. You know, here in the South, we are taught to say thank you very early in life, aren't we? Of the prayers that have been led this morning, and the ones that we typically hear led in public, don't they almost always begin with thank you, God? And that's good. It should. Our prayers at home. I know ours do. Our prayers at home. When we have prayer as a family, when we have prayer around the dinner table, it begins with thank you, God. A verbal level of thankfulness. We were out to eat some time back, and the waitress who was bringing us, every time she filled our drinks and brought us something, it was just, you know, thank you. It was a verbal thank you. We appreciated what she was doing. But before we left that evening, the manager of the restaurant came to us, and he said, we thank y'all for being here. The waitress got to me and said, y'all are thanking her more than she's thanking you. But sometimes that verbal level of thankfulness is as far as it gets, isn't it? And unfortunately, that verbal thank you, that verbal thankfulness, is as far as it goes. We can go through life without ever being genuinely heartfelt thankful, and we may express it as eloquently as anybody can possibly do it. We may say thank you as often or more than anybody and never be genuinely heartfelt thankful for what's been done for us. I heard Bill Hall one time tell a story of a gentleman named Rex Hadley. I don't know who that is. I just remember the name. This gentleman had recently obeyed the gospel. And it wasn't long after that that he had an opportunity to extend an invitation one Wednesday night at the end of services. First time that he had ever spoke in front of folks. And he used as a text Luke chapter 15. And there is the story of a lost sheep. You remember? 99. He went out into the wilderness and found that one lost sheep and he gathered him up and he brought him back. And Bill said, you know, he said, it wasn't the most eloquent talk that I've ever heard. He said, but there was no doubt that that gentleman saw himself as that lost sheep. And he was so very, very thankful that the Master had come and got him and brought him back. That was heartfelt thankfulness. Heartfelt appreciation for what had been done. We can be so eloquent sometimes with regards to thankfulness. In our prayers, our comments, we can send cards of thanks and really never reach that level of heartfelt, deep appreciation for what's been done. Turn over to 2 Samuel chapter 7 for just a moment. What I'd like to do is look at an example of what I believe is true, genuine, heartfelt thankfulness to kind of illustrate what we're talking about this morning. You remember King David wanted to build a temple for the Lord. Remember that in the Old Testament? But the Lord wouldn't let him do it. He told him that blood on his hands, and he just would not be the one who would build the temple for him. In 2 Samuel chapter 7 and in verse 12, the Lord tells David, "And when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which will proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever." So David, you're not going to be the one who's going to build this house for me. Your son will. What was David's response? Drop on down to verse 18. "Then went King David in and sat before the Lord, and he said, Who am I, O Lord God? And what is my house that thou hast brought me hitherto? And this was yet a small thing in thy sight, O Lord God, but thou hast spoken also of thy servant's house for a great while to come. And is this the manner of man, O Lord God? And what can David say more unto thee? For thou, Lord God, knowest thy servant. For thy word's sake, and according to thine own heart, thou hast done all these things to make thy servant know thee. Wherefore thou art great, O Lord God, for there is none like thee. Neither is there any God beside thee, according to all that we have heard with our ears." What level of thankfulness does David express there? David's described as a man after God's own heart. Was that because he did such a good job of keeping his laws? He wasn't perfect, was he? Why do you think he kept his laws? Why do you think he was so diligent in trying to do right? I suggest to you it's because of this very attitude that you see exhibited here. He was so very thankful for what the Lord had done for him. See, I believe that thankfulness is really at the very root of our service to God. Think about that just a minute. Thankfulness is at the very root of our service to Thankfulness gives us moral strength and character. Over in Romans chapter 1, turn there for just a moment. In Romans chapter 1, the downfall of the Gentiles there, their corruptness is described there at the end of Romans chapter 1. Starting in verse 29, being filled with all unrighteousness and fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Pretty despicable lot, right? How in the world did they get to that point? Well, back up to verse 21. Before he gives this list, back up to verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was dark. When we are unthankful, immoral conduct follows, doesn't it? When we don't have a true thankfulness and appreciation for what God has done for us, then it makes it a whole lot easier for us to do things that aren't pleasing in His sight. I believe that thankfulness is necessary for effective personal work on our part. We can surround ourselves with all kinds of aids and charts and things we can use on our iPads and our iPhones and computers and things to teach people with. And we can do all these different things, but they're not effective, are they, until we are truly thankful for what we have and for what's been done for us. And I'll suggest that this is the biggest problem. The biggest problem with evangelism today is we're not thankful for it. We're not thankful for it. We're afraid to tell our friends and neighbors about it because we're afraid of what they're going to think about us, because we really are not thankful enough about what's been done for us. Told to me as a true story that there was a doctor who'd gone to China. And he went over to China, and while he was there, he met a man that was blind. And upon examination, he realized that the man had an issue that really could be corrected with surgery. So he did the surgery, and the man could see. You know what the man did? Shortly thereafter, hand in hand, he led 10 of his blind friends back to that doctor. And that's exactly the illustration that's given in Mark chapter 1, isn't it? In Mark chapter 1, starting in verse 40, and there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying to him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and said to him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him and he was cleansed. And he straightly charged him and forthwith sent him away and said to him, see thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. But he went out and began to publish it much, and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places. And they came to him from every quarter. This man didn't do what he was told to do, did he? Jesus healed him. He said, but don't tell anybody. But he couldn't contain himself, could he? He told everybody. Was he thankful? Yeah. He didn't obey, but he couldn't contain himself. When we are really filled with joy over encourage you to give some thought to that. Do you really have joy over your salvation, or is it a burden to you? Because you see, when we have real joy over our salvation, we'll be like Peter and John over in Acts chapter 4 and verse 20, when they replied to the rulers there that they couldn't but speak the things which they had seen and heard. What type of thankfulness did they have? I suggest to you, too, that thankfulness is necessary if we are going to effectively worship our Lord. When we are filled with thankfulness, our worship is what it should be. When we are filled with thankfulness, we normally don't have to fight going to sleep at services. We normally can remember the songs that we've sung because we sing in the spirit and understanding. We fully engage in contemplation of what we're to be doing on the first day of the week when we partake of the Lord's Supper. Because we're thankful. Over in Revelation chapter 4. Look there with me for just a moment. In Revelation chapter 4, I want to notice the throne scene that's there in Revelation chapter 4. Starting in verse 1. John there says, "After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet, talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and sardine stone, and there was a rainbow around the throne, in sight like unto an emerald." Drop down to verse 8. "And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worshiped him, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things. And for thy pleasure, they are and were created." When we sing, do we sing with thanksgiving? When we pray, do we pray with thanksgiving? When we partake of the Lord's Supper, do we partake with thanksgiving? I've known people to actually weep when they partook of the Lord's Supper. I'm not advocating that we have to weep to show that we're truly thankful. But of those who have wept in partaking of the Lord's Supper, it's hard for me to have any doubt about their thankfulness and their appreciation of what was done for them. And it seems that with regards to thankfulness, so many times, the more we receive, the less thankful we are. Anybody question that? The more we receive, the less thankful we are. Have you ever noticed that the unthankful children are typically the children that have the most? I've noticed it in my own house. Children that have the most are typically the most unthankful. Mark may feel sorry for me because I got four kids I got to put through. Well, only three now I got to put through college. One finished yesterday. He may feel sorry for me. And so Mark may say, "Chad, here's $1,000 for you. Just take this one." "Oh, no, Mark, I can't take that. You please, you keep that. No, I insist. And so after a long discussion, I end up with $1,000. Next month, Mark comes to me again. He said, Chad, I still feel sorry for you. $1,000. I said, no, Mark, I can't. So we have a discussion, not quite as long this time. We have another discussion. I end up with $1,000. This goes on for 4 or 5 months. So before long, Mark says, Chad, here's $1,000. I said, thank you, Mark. Put it in my pocket. Well, you know what happens after a while? I start to expect it, don't I? I start to budget. I use that $1,000. Mark, I got kids at college that need cars. I start making car payments with that money. I start paying rent with that money. I start doing a number of things. And Mark says, I go to Mark 1 month, expecting Mark to give me some money, and he doesn't give me any money. And I'm in bad shape now because I've taken for granted what he's given to me over and over and over again. And don't we do the same thing with regards to God's love, grace, and mercy? We take it for granted. While Lisa was going through chemo, I knew every Friday or every Saturday, Trina would show up at my house with 2 big bags of frozen meals that many of you had prepared so we could have to eat on during the next week. It could have been easy for us to have just expected that. Called over to Trina and said, Trina, you didn't bring that food today. Well, where is it? I do know of a situation where Lisa was taking some food to someone here in the past, and she called ahead. And this person had received some other meals. And so Lisa had told them that she would bring a meal on a certain day. So she called ahead that afternoon to remind them and to tell them that she was bringing it. She said, I'm going to bring the meal over. And the response from the man in the house was, I sure hope so. Whoa. There was no joke implied in that. It took her aback. Sometimes we become unthankful for what we get over and over again. And we must guard against that. In 1 Samuel chapter 9, remember Saul? Saul had pretty humble beginnings, didn't he? In 1 Samuel chapter 9, and Saul answered and said, am I not a Benjamite of the smallest of the tribes of Israel, and my family the least of all the families of the tribe of Benjamin? Wherefore then speakest thou to me? He's about to become king, and he can't fathom the concept of being king because of who he is and where he's from. Didn't stay that way, did he? Once he became king, once he became powerful in his own eyes, it didn't stay that way. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, after Saul has disobeyed several times and displayed an attitude of anything but thankfulness, in 1 Samuel chapter 15, starting in verse 13, and Samuel said to Saul, and Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said to him, blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Remember, he'd been told to wipe out this people, everything. And Samuel said, what meaneth then the bleating of the sheep in mine ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? They were supposed to have been destroyed, but they weren't. And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest they have utterly destroyed. In verse 17 it says, and Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. You remember the Israelites when they were in the wilderness? The more God did for them, the more they what? They complained. They murmured. They were unthankful. The more they got, the less they were thankful. And then there's Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. He was being rejected by the Corinthians in favor of some false teachers. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 15, Paul said, and I will very gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. The more Paul did for them, the more he tried to help them, the less they loved him. They resented him. They rejected Him. They rejected the truth that He brought to them. I have a lot of favorite passages. But one of my favorite passages is over in Proverbs chapter 30. In Proverbs chapter 30, starting in verse 7. Because I think the mindset of this passage displays the mindset that we should have. Proverbs 30, verse 7. Two things have I required of thee. Deny me them not before I die. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me. Lest I be full and deny thee, and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal, and take the name of my God in vain. There's a number of applications we can make from the things we've talked about this morning. But here's one that I don't want to be lost upon us. Many of us here were brought up by Christian parents that struggled to find the truth. They finally found that pearl of great price. And those parents were thankful for what they had. They were thankful for what they had found. They were thankful for what had been done for them. And many of us have had it handed to us on a silver platter. And we're not nearly as thankful. And as a result, so many times, we're not nearly as faithful. In some cases, children have turned their backs on the truth despite all the efforts of their parents. And the reason is they're just not thankful for Jesus. They're not thankful for what's been done for them. They're not appreciative of how dire and desperate their situation is without Jesus. Not thankful for the gospel. Not thankful for the efforts of their parents. The more we receive, the less thankful we are. Are we grateful for the death of Christ? Son of God came to earth, lived in poverty, rejected by His family, rejected by men, to die a horrific, terrible death on the cross for you and for me. Are you thankful for that? That's just a good story. Heard it 1,000 times. If we're truly thankful for that, then what would be our response? Might it impact the way we live our lives? The things we say, the things we see, the places we go, the things we do, the way we dress, the way we conduct ourselves, the kind of employees we are, the kind of students we are, the kind of children we are, everything we do in life, if we're truly thankful for that, we'll be impacted by that, right? Are we grateful for the Bible? You know, there are places, even today, where the printed Bible is hard to come by. You can use a computer to find just about anything you want to, do any kind of research you want to on the Bible. You know what Martin Luther's response was? He was in a time when there weren't printed Bibles everywhere, before the printing press had become so able. You know what his response was about the Bible when he finally saw the entire Bible in one cover? Oh, that God would give me such a book. Are you grateful for your parents? This is Mother's Day. Are you grateful for your parents? Are you grateful for the ones that taught you the gospel? Are you thankful for the hope that you have if you are thankful, truly, genuinely thankful for that hope that you have, should it then not guide and dictate your life? And the world have much less of an influence upon you? When we have real gratitude, we express it. We tell others that we appreciate what they've done. We tell others of what's been done for us. We are faithful. And we are obedient. Are you thankful? I'll leave that question with you this morning. We may have some here this morning who have never really expressed their appreciation for the salvation offered to them through Jesus Christ and have never believed and obeyed and been baptized into Christ. You have that opportunity now. We may have some here who need the prayers of the saints, who have fallen away, who have lived an unthankful life, need to make things publicly correct. If either is your case, we encourage you to come forward as we stand and sing this morning.